If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Welcome in, everybody. Day 2 of the NFL Draft is officially in the books. This is the Jacob Draft Special with NFL Insider, Eagles Insider, John McMullen. John, before we get into each individual pick, you just came from the press conference with Howie Roseman. Nick Sirianni answered a few questions. They like their new players. What did you take? What did you make of the press conference from Howie and Nick? And just your initial thoughts on day 2 as it came to a close. A lot of shaking and baking for Howie today.
Yeah, I think, you know, Howie said during his pre-draft media availability, he likes the trades, and he didn't get to trade day 1. So he kind of knew what was in store for day 2. And he makes 3 different trades. He goes up to get Cooper, and then he goes down twice to get Jalix Hunt. So a lot of moving and shaking. But when it comes to Cooper DeJean, it's, you know, he had a first-round grade from certainly the Eagles and most people around this league. I think a couple things kind of contributed to a little bit of a fall from, you know, and most people, I would say, had him projected to somewhere 25 to 32, so later in the first round, but still a first-round grade, and fell a little bit ultimately to 40. So it wasn't a precipitous fall, but partially due to the injury that cost him the last 4 games of his college career, and he's completely healthy from that, but there is a little bit of a concern always when you suffer a pretty significant injury as a broken leg. And so I think that hurt him a little bit. And then what we talked about yesterday when the Eagles got a little bit lucky with the board and the defensive players started to fall with the record 14 offensive players going first.
Right.
All of a sudden, the defensive players get pushed down the board. The cornerbacks got pushed down the board. So, you know, most people had Quinyon Mitchell as the number one corner in the draft, and he ended up being the number one corner in the draft. He just went at 22 overall. So from that perspective, and that means the other guys, Terrion Arnold was pushed down the board, and Cooper DeJean was pushed down the board. So that, I think, worked out very well for the Eagles to get 2 potential starting players and 2 potential difference-making players on defense relatively early in their career if they live up to their billing. So I think that's all positive. And then, You know, you can question it as we did when we did the immediate hit after taking Jalix Hunt. You know, you can question taking a developmental prospect, and that's what he is. And he's got tremendous athletic skills, but he's got a long way to go. Raw player, by all accounts, and, you know, mentioned, but, you know, Howie mentioned Daniel Jeremiah a bunch of times during the press conference and his ratings and his gradings. And, you know, DJ had mentioned Vic Fangio likes this particular player. And I kind of look at it, as I said, like a Jeff Stoutland type thing.
Right.
You know, give him somebody to work with and maybe he got something really impressive a year or two down the road. But I do think it's going to be a year or two down the road. If you're expecting for immediacy with that particular player, I don't think you're going to be happy about it. So it's that old argument we have all the time. You know, this is a contender. You have that group. They should be going for people that could help them right now versus trying to serve those two masters. Yeah, you want to be a contender, but you also want to build for the future.
Yeah, and I think you know, anybody that knows the game and that follows the game, and especially the draft, knows that at some point you're taking shots in the dark, whether you want to admit it or not. And where that point happens, I guess, could be up for debate. But I like it. It's a shot in the dark. He's an athletic prospect. Daniel Jeremiah speaks very highly of him. Obviously, somebody who has a great track record on the draft. But we'll get into him a little bit later on. I want to get into Cooper DeJean. DeGene, or however you pronounce that. He seemed fired up to come to Philly. Howie seemed fired up about the player. Obviously, as you mentioned, first-round grades all over. And it's kind of split, not splitting hairs, but as you mentioned, if he's ranked, you know, 25 to 32, depending on how the board falls, it's not that hard for a player to slip a couple spots. You know, obviously, every player has, you know, every team has their needs and stuff like that. But I just want to get your opinion on, you know, his fit and his role and the type of impact he's going to have. I think everybody coming into this draft, we wanted defense. We talked defense nonstop. And my personal opinion is I think we got two great defensive backs. As Cilio says, they haven't gotten their jock strap yet. So we don't know yet, but the draft is throwing darts, and I like the darts we got here. I think they're two good players in Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, and they should bolster this defense pretty quickly, I think immediately, but we'll see.
Yeah, certainly. I think they got two of the best 32 players in the draft how I would describe it.
And you heard Howie say that in the press conference. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you, you know, we don't have 32 round one grades, and we got two of our guys that were in the group. Yeah.
So – you know, from that standpoint, I think, you know, it worked out well. And, you know, I don't think he came into this draft saying we're going to address the defense. And he kind of mentioned that when he was asked. It was like, no. I mean, I do think that's one thing that people, for whatever reason, it's common sense, but a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if one thing happens, you know, like Green Bay. I mean, the Eagles went above Green Bay to get Cooper DeJean, so they traded down. So from their perspective, one thing happens, and they don't get the player they want at 41, and they readjust, and they go in a different direction. That might have happened with the Eagles when they traded down the second time, and Zach Zinner from Michigan, the guard from Michigan, we were all speculating, you know, maybe that was the Eagles. I forget, it might have been Baltimore who took him before. I forget the team if you have it up, but he went right before the Eagles traded down again. And you start to think, is that the guy they wanted?
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that happens. And even in the first round, we don't know. You know, Pittsburgh takes the offensive lineman at 20, and, you know, all of a sudden it becomes clear to the Eagles, you know, it's going to be Quinyon Mitchell. Might have been their first choice, but it might have been their second choice. So, and Howie will let us know. He'll let reporters know at some point down the road.
right,
in hindsight, when the draft is over, he generally lets us in on some of that stuff. Sometimes, sometimes not. And sometimes we have to get it from other quarters, but we'll find out eventually. But it's always about, you know, a reaction from, you know, everything causes a reaction, basically. And as you go down the board, you're not going to get every single player you hope for or want. And then you got to go to your contingencies, and Howie's very good at that because he's got a lot of experience. So, but I don't think he came into this draft. Like, you'll hear that a lot. Oh, they were going to address defensive players. And no, they weren't. That's how it
felt. Yeah, and Howie said that in the press conference. Yeah, exactly. We didn't even come in favoring defense. It's just kind of how the cookie crumbled, which is interesting.
Yeah. And you know, I do say, and that's why I said, you know, I thought, very honest about it, that they would come out at the first 2 days of this draft with an offensive lineman, and it didn't fall the way to where they got an offensive lineman. But maybe they wanted Zach Sinner. That's a real possibility when you trade down after a player like that comes off the board. So that's the kind of stuff that happens. And you know, I brought it up with the cornerbacks yesterday, and people talking about finally, and you see it all over. First time the Eagles taken a quarterback since 2002 in the first round. Well, they've been trying for years to get a cornerback, and it hasn't worked out that way. Right. So it's just, you know, it's a literal fact. I have no problem people bringing it up, but it's not that meaningful because they weren't avoiding cornerback, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that's the context you always talk about, Johnny Mack. You can't speak about things in a vacuum. There's always more variables that get left out of any given conversation.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's very complicated. If you go back to Howie getting a little frustrated with the Hassan Reddick question, you know, they were going to add an edge rusher at a certain point, and it might have been in the first round if things fell the right way, and it would be more meaningful in an immediate fashion. Now you have more of a developmental player for Vic Fangio to work with. But, you know, from a ceiling perspective, the Eagles are, and you kind of heard Howie speak about his ceiling as a player and what the Eagles feel he can do. And maybe it turns into something special 2 years down the road. And it gives you more ammunition from the perspective of, like, I think way too many people have turned the page on Nolan Smith. Well, Nolan's going to come back, and he's going to be healthier because he's got shoulder surgery, and he's going to put on weight and put on strength from working out. And maybe you all of a sudden you have multiple darts, and maybe one of them hits and becomes a big-time edge rusher. And if that works, it's like, think about Andre Dillard. People say Andre Dillard was a failure, which he was technically. But guess what? They got Jordan Mailata up to speed, so it doesn't really matter. I mean, they got the all-pro left tackle, or the all-pro level left tackle. Just was a different guy than it was expected to be.
Yeah, and I think it's hard for fans or people that, you know, put so much stock in the draft, or, you know, who they want to be able to, you know, to think like that or to put that context into it. And I understand why, but you're certainly right. I mean, a lot of this is throwing darts, and if you can get, you know, reach the end goal, you know, so be it. But John, we did in our initial recap to the Cooper DeJean. I just want to, for anybody that missed it or might not have heard that segment with us yet, what's his fit? I know he's played a lot of outside corner at Iowa. You said you like him at a safety, a potential inside. He's a versatile player, somebody that Vic Fangio can kind of use all over the place. Where do you see him slotting, at least to start his career, after maybe some dominoes fall in the future with Slay and some other pieces? Maybe he will find himself on the outside. But where do you see him starting his career, specifically this season?
Yeah, I think he's going to start in more as more of an inside player, whether it's that is at slot or safety. But the good thing about Cooper is that if you do have attrition, which you always have in the NFL, he's the kind of guy who can move around. And if Slay has to miss three or four games like he had last year with the knee problem, you know, all of a sudden he can go outside and play outside and you feel comfortable with it. And same thing with Avante. If you know, Avante has another injury plague season and or he's just simply not ready to go and not what he once was because of the injuries, he could play him in the slot. If Sidney Brown's not ready to go and it's going to be a little bit more time than expected with the torn ACL, you can start him at safety. So I think that part of it is a luxury and rare, to be honest, for young players. Just yesterday, and we asked Howie, they were talking about Quinyon Mitchell, who's extremely talented, and they said, you know, they got the inside-outside versatility question. They said, no, he's going to start outside. You want him to focus on that. You want them to learn that, and then maybe after that part of it, then maybe you can cross-train them at some other positions. I think Cooper's a guy you can start on that a little bit more quickly because of the way Iowa, and a lot of that is just of how he was used at Iowa, and they played him in sort of a rover role where it would go all over depending on where they need. Now, for the people thinking he's going to do that at the professional level, that I don't agree with it. There's no evidence. Vic's been doing this for a very long time. There's no evidence that he's going to have a Swiss Army knife type of player. In other words, if he's going to play corner 1 week, he's going to play corner. If he's going to play nickel 1 week, he's going to play nickel. If he's going to play safety, he's going to play safety. He's not going to play outside corner, slot, safety, nickel linebacker in the same game. He doesn't do that. And you can make a strong argument he shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of players that do that.
Yeah.
I can think of one that I've covered in Philadelphia, and that's Malcolm Jenkins. And I can think of very few in the Josh Metellus does it. He's one of my favorite players because he does do it. Very rare. It just doesn't happen. I like to call that spring talk. People like to talk about it. It really doesn't exist.
Yeah, I liked a lot, by the way, Cooper's answers on some of these questions that he got in terms of, you know, where would you like to play? You know, he's like, look, I'm a football player. You put me out there, I'll be ready to go. I'll be playing to the best of my ability. I love that kind of mentality. And I feel like at that position, you know, you might not see that a lot. So from that perspective, I think that's a good character check for Cooper. What was your takeaways from him talking to him and, you know, having a chance to hear him for the first time? Any takeaways from what he had to say?
Yeah, I mean, he's really sharp. I mean, you can tell. And anybody who takes on the role that he does is going to be, you know, have a high football IQ. You can't do that,
right?
And not to learn that many different positions as he was able to do in college at Iowa. So you know that, and Nick talks about that a lot. To the point where, you know, it becomes cliche a little bit and it becomes, you know, roll your eyes territory. But when you talk about high football IQ, that's what he's talking about. Somebody who embraces the, you know, I always go back to Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's one of the best safeties in the NFL, phenomenal player. And for those who don't remember when he got traded from Miami to Pittsburgh, one of the reasons he got traded is because Miami wanted to turn him into a Malcolm Jenkins type player. And they wanted to turn him into a guy who would play a bunch of different positions, play a bunch of different roles, and he didn't want to do it. He just wanted to focus on playing free safety, and he's one of the best in football, and it's worked out for him. But most players are like Minkett. Most players don't want to take on all that responsibility to learn all these different players, different positions, and change change from week to week, play to play, series to series. Cooper's willing to do that. He can do that. Again, I don't think it's going to happen in this particular defense. I think it's more of having a very versatile guy who, if Slay's injured, he can go play outside cornerback. If Reed Blankenship's injured, he can play safety.
Yeah, and the mindset element to it, right? I mean, you just said it. Not everybody likes to do it. Even if he doesn't do it, I think the mindset is a net positive.
Yeah, exactly. And willingness to do it.
Yeah, willingness, right.
And some other. I mean, Avante's, but there's a little bit difference. He's played safety when he's had to, and slot corner. So there are certain guys who certainly show versatility in the secondary. But I mentioned, Jonathan would always say that those are mirrored positions in this defense. So slot and safety are not that different in this defense. Just one is high, one is low generally. But even that, it can flip at times. So those are kind of mirrored. But when you start talking about outside corner, way different role. And it's interesting. That's his natural position, outside corner. I don't see where he fits in this season as a rookie, as an outside corner, unless Slay or Mitchell get injured. There's no need for him to start at outside corner. But I think long-term, as you think about Darius Slay being 33 and James Bradbury probably moving on, now all of a sudden you have Quinyon Mitchell, you have Cooper DeJean, you have Kaylee Ringo, and even Eli Ricks, let the best two win. And I think that's a pretty good position to be in.
Yeah, it's a healthy environment, too. And I think Slay, you see, some of Slay's tweets and stuff. And I like his mindset as well going into this. He knows where he's at. He knows he's a 33-year-old guy. And, he's taking all
that. Yeah, I think the Eagles have two of the most misunderstood players in football.
And Slay and A.J. Brown.
Because they're both such phenomenal leaders. And in the case of Slay's got this, huge personality, and he likes to have fun. And he's goofy at times, but there's a lot of veteran players who don't embrace the thought process of helping, essentially, guys who are drafted to take your job.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a competitive world.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
It's testosterone man.
It's human nature to say, I don't want this young.
Yeah, I'm not going to help you come for what I have. Right.
Because Slay, and maybe it just stems from, and he talks all the time about the veteran corners he had in Detroit, who really took him under their wing when he was a young player. And he learned from that guys like Rasheen Mathis. And, he always mentions Lober Quinn as well as a veteran defensive back. But and they took him under their wings and really helped him develop as a professional. And now he's sort of grown into somebody who always wants to help young players get better. And for whatever reason, people don't know that. And, you know, with the AJ, it's the same thing. And people look at some of the social media stuff and don't realize that, you know, he's one of the more well-respected players in the locker room. Same thing with Slay. I always tell the Devin Allen story. Devin Allen got here, you know, track star, didn't know anybody, out of football for 6 years. And, you know, he showed up for the off-season work. And, you know, he was also running in the Penn relays and doing both. And Slay was the one who organized a trip and got a bunch of teammates together to go watch Devin Allen run at the Penn relays. Relays. Didn't even know the guy. I mean, essentially, just met him. But he wanted to get everybody together to support their new teammate.
Well, I will play devil's advocate, John, and I'll just say this, and I do agree with what you're saying about each of those players. I can understand why it might rub some people the wrong way. Not that specifically, but some of the things where Slay will take a business decision out on the field, or, you know, he'll tweet, "Oh, I played well after." I could see why some people have a problem with that. I will say that.
Well, hey, people can have a problem what they want to have a problem.
Yeah, everybody.
But I think it's in Slay's case, and some of the things, like, you know, he's a big, you know, he's going to tell you what happens on the field. And, you know, when you play a lot of zone coverage, I always say it might look like so-and-so blew a coverage, but it was really somebody else. And, you know, he gets a little bit frustrated at times. And I agree with you. I think he should ignore that stuff. I told them both they should ignore social media. But, yeah, I mean, they're human beings and they get frustrated like everybody else. But I'm just talking about from a teammate perspective, not from a – I mean, their teammates love them. And their teammates voted them team captains for a reason. Like, Nick Sirianni doesn't declare them team captains. He's not.
Right. It's up to the players.
Yeah, it's up to the players. And I know, in fact, Slay, when he was the first time he was named a team captain, he got really emotional about it because it meant a lot to him.
I remember that. I remember when Slay talked about that, right?
Yeah. So that's all I mean. Sometimes they, you know, like Slay will tell, you know, why you're booing.
Right. Well, I don't want to get in the weeds on Slay. I think overall what you're saying is correct. And I think he is a good person to have. Look, they just spent their two biggest picks of the 2024 NFL draft on defensive backs. I think it's a net positive that you have a guy like Darius.
And you're going to, that was my point.
Right.
Thanks for getting me out of it.
Yeah.
He's 33 years old. He's not going to be around much longer. And you have a 33-year-old guy who's been a 6-time Pro Bowler, whatever, who knows and has seen everything on how to play cornerback in this league at a high level. And he's willing to help young players. You don't often see that, is kind of where I was going.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's a good, I think it's a good thing. John, let's get real quick before we talk about some of the picks. I mean, boy, they are loaded on picks. The Philadelphia Eagles just put out a graphic. See you guys tomorrow. I mean, there's looks like
seven.
Seven picks. We got three or four in the fourth round. So we are loaded up tomorrow. Before we get into that, I just want to give you a chance to comment on that third round pick one more time. I know we talked about it in the immediate aftermath of drafting Jalix Hunt, but just your opinion on that, what you think of that. I know we've talked about how he's an unpolished edge rusher. He's a very athletic guy. He has a lot of great traits, and we kind of talked about how you kind of give Vic Fangio a piece of clay and let him mold him. But I just want to give you a chance on this segment for anybody that didn't hear our other to kind of comment on.
Yeah, I don't have a huge problem with it. I generally, you know, I have a philosophy that I'm not taking a developmental guy until day three. But if you really want to think about it, you know, they took him very late in round three.
Yeah, 6 picks away from day three.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the difference between 6 picks?
Not much.
Yeah. And then you're probably not going to get him if you have that hard and fast rule. And like what I'm saying, I think they start with maybe the 20th pick somewhere in that range tomorrow. So you're talking about a 26 pick difference, and he's probably not going to be there tomorrow. So I don't have a problem with it. A little bit too early for me to take a developmental guy. But again, you know, if you really like the player, just take the player. I you know, the only thing I look at it, and maybe he's completely off the Eagles board, and that's the kind of stuff that I don't know and I can't know. And that's the problem with the draft, because nobody knows. I don't know if Peyton Wilson is even on the Eagles board because of all the injury issues. And they may have red flagged him from that perspective. Yeah. But I look at him as a player and I say, if he holds up, if he stays healthy, he's the best linebacker in this draft. And you can get him late in the third round because of those issues. And, you know, maybe
that's right in the Eagles' wheelhouse. Obviously, I don't know, but boy, I'd like to bet that they had a red flag on him because
they probably did.
That to me seems like Howie Roseman would eat that up if they didn't red flag him.
Yeah, and they probably did, and that's probably the simple explanation to it. But you start thinking about, you know, who could have helped them immediately, and that's a player that could have helped them immediately. And that's probably why they don't have him, because they probably red flagged him. And that, you know, he did get chosen a few spots after Hunt. I think it was Pittsburgh. And that's Andy Waddle, who, you know, has a history here, long history here. So he does things similar, in a similar fashion. Now, again, medical people are medical people, and they don't get involved in the scouting process of it. So the Pittsburgh doctors could have a different view of it than the Eagles doctors. But I can tell you this, UPMC guys, they're legit. The Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, James Bradley's out there, a bunch of Joe Maroon's out there. It's one of the top sports orthopedic areas in the country. And if they say he's okay, so that part of it that he went to the Steelers, and I have to double check that. I think he went to the Steelers.
Yeah, but he did.
Yeah, I'm so bogged down.
Yeah,
And so that to me, I start to ask questions. Like if the Steelers thought he was worthy of taking, I question it a little bit.
Yeah, and I can understand that. John, let's shift to an early preview of tomorrow. They got, like we just mentioned, they're loaded on picks. There's a couple positions that stick out to me right now, and I want to ask you, the positions are, for me, offensive line. We talked about it all day. We talked about it on the preview. We talked about it on Each Hit today. Linebacker, all of Philadelphia is clamoring for a linebacker, whether it's right or wrong. All of Philadelphia, all the fans, all on Twitter, all in our chat box right now. Everybody wants a linebacker. And I think wide receiver 3. You could argue running back, tight end. These are all needs. But before I ask you to address each one of them, how much does, especially on day 3, do you kind of throw some of that out the window where it's like we're at a point where we're taking flyers? We know it. Let's take the players that we like, regardless of what position they're at, and see how it pans out.
Yeah, I mean, day three is a little bit different how he kind of talked about it. And actually, he gave me a good answer about, you know, the pause. He had mentioned the pause and talked about what he called a passion meeting that they'll have at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning before day three starts. Just another avenue to where the scouts can get together. And if they're really passionate about a player, right. You know, make that case. They're not going to change grades, he said, obviously, but, you know, it's sort of in that if you have that cluster of players and you're really passionate about one, maybe that leans them. Maybe they go up to get one, as they did with Kaleb Ringo last year. So that'll be interesting how that shakes out. But I do think on day three, there's, you know, especially when you have a lot of picks, and now the Eagles have a lot of picks, you can start saying, all right, they got to add a running back at some point. They got to add probably, you know, offensive line, but we're still talking about it.
Keep going there. I mean,
offensive
lineman.
You know, I don't think you're going to add one. Now I think the competition's quite honestly going to be between Tyler Steen and Matt Hennessy. So the Eagles did do a good job. And you talk about third receiver. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him upgrade from Paris Campbell. But if they at least got these pieces in place, the Paris Campbells, the Matt Hennessys, to where you could say, all right, well, at least they're NFL caliber players and you don't have to overreach. But you also want to add some competition, and day three is a little bit more nuanced, I would say, than when – yeah, you're just trying to find the best players at the top of the draft, because you can use it to fill some holes.
Yeah, and we briefly talked about it earlier. The Eagles really aren't one of those teams right now that needs all the a lot of teams will accumulate late round picks because they need camp bodies, they need people, they need to fill out their roster. The Eagles really aren't in a position. I hope there's a player they like, so they can package some of these picks and go and get them, or else, you know, I kind of feel like we might not waste them, but I don't know.
Well,
right to the practice squad, or are you going to trade them for next year? Which I would like to see maybe some of that if they can, but we'll see how it shakes.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's pretty easy, and too many teams struggle with the idea. It's like, you know, I don't care about, and I've said it on the show before, I don't care about the number of picks for the Eagles. If I got a four-win team, I care about that number of picks, and I do want to trade down. I do want to populate the roster with younger players and rebuilding.
Why do you think then how we kept trading back and accumulating those fourth rounders? Do you think he wanted Jalen the whole time, and he knew that, and he knew he could accumulate assets because his guy was still going to be there? Or do you think he valued getting more picks, and then when his time came, that was the guy they had?
Oh, well, I think, you know, if you think about it, it all starts with Cooper, and they wanted to go up and get Cooper. So right. To do that, they had to give up 50 and 53, and they got back, and they got the 40th pick, and they also got a third-round pick, so they went much lower from 53 to go up and get Cooper DeJean. And then from that standpoint, then they went down twice. Now, why did they go down the first time? I brought up Zach Zinner. Zinter, it certainly seemed to me that was the guy.
Yeah, he went right before that pick, right?
Yeah. And there was a bunch of offensive linemen. Maybe they got a little bit too cute and said there's a bunch of them we like. And all of a sudden they started to come off the board. And Zach was the guy. And all of a sudden he's gone. And then they trade down again, as far as they could probably in the third round, understanding Hunt's probably going to be there. That's my guess of what happened. Now, Howie made a big thing out of, you know, DJ, Daniel, Jeremiah putting up his, I guess he was putting up his top players left on NFL Network, and Hunt was high and he was, you know, wishing he would take it off and not show it. But if he wanted him that bad, he wouldn't have went down twice. So there's a little bit of subterfuge when it comes to that. I do think they wanted a different player, very similar to what Green Bay. Look, Green Bay wanted Cooper at 41, and the Eagles went up right in front of him, stole him, and then they said, oh, crap, and then they went back.
Yeah, and then the next two teams that came in, by the way, drafted cornerbacks.
Yeah, I think it was corner. I think it was three in a row.
Now, I'm not saying they wanted Cooper, but that certainly shows you that Howie read that part of the draft accurately.
Yeah. I mean, that essentially, what Green Bay did essentially validated Howie thought. And I think the same thing happened to the Eagles in a negative way. When Zinter went off the board, and then I think they said, "Oh, our guy's gone, and yeah, let's go down."
Yeah. All right, Johnny Mac, that'll do it for tonight. Good recap on day two. We're now done day one. We're done day two. Eagles got Quinyon Mitchell, cornerback, last night, pick 22 overall from Toledo. I like him. I think he's going to be a good player. We'll see how he pans out. They get Cooper DeJean. We just talked about him a lot. And they get the Jalix Hunt, the athletic guy that is unpolished. So we'll see how it goes. Tons of picks tomorrow, tons of shake and bake, and we'll be covering it all day. Go ahead and get yourself home safely, Johnny Mac, from the NovaCare. Good job today covering the whole draft and being on it for Jacob Sports. We appreciate it. Get home safe, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. All right, brother.
All right, thanks, Sandra. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny Mac. That's John McMullen live from NovaCare. He did great work all day today covering the draft. I want to hear from a couple people in the chat. We got a good amount of people watching us. Thanks for tuning in. It's 12:40 Eastern time. But if you're a draft nerd and you know you're into this stuff, you're not falling asleep anytime soon because you're wired up a little bit after it ends. So good conversation with Johnny Mac. I got to be honest, I like what the Eagles did. I see a lot of people that are indifferent on Cooper. I love it. I think he's a great player. Obviously, like Cilio always says, and a lot of you are talking about Cilio as you always are, they don't have their jock straps yet. So I don't want to go there, but I will say I like the player. I like the personality of the player, and that is obviously not everything, but I think sometimes that can give you a look at, you know, how a player thinks, how he acts, how he works behind the scenes. So I like that, and I like the Quinyon Mitchell guy. I wasn't too sold on it originally when I was, you know, listening to Mac School and stuff like that. But you go and watch the tape, you go and you, another guy, you listen to the guy, you listen to him talk, you listen to the, you see the personality, you see, you know, how locked in he is. I think these could be really two good picks and, you know, not just for this year. I mean, we're talking about, you know, potentially the future of the Eagles defense. How we made moves all offseason, securing this offense, Landon Dickerson, Mylata, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts. Now it's time to get the defense. And I think Howie at least he addressed it. Now, if they work, we'll see. But I think he addressed some key positions and he got some great players. So we'll see how it all shakes out. If anybody in the chat wants to hit me with something, I will answer some questions or at least talk about some things you want to talk about. So drop your chats in there now if you want me to hit it. But I know Daz, I see Daz, you've been in here all day too. Wire it up. It's draft week, baby. So it's tough for draft Knicks to go to sleep when you're locked in on it. But thanks everybody for tuning in. Yo, please like the show. It really helps Jacob grow as a brand, helps the shows reach more Eagles fans, helps us reach more people, and helps us stay alive. So we appreciate it. Like the show, share the show, share it with a friend, subscribe to the channel, and stay locked in. And we'll have you guys locked in tomorrow too. I'll be doing the picks with Johnny Mac after each pick, after each round. I don't know if we're going to cover each pick tomorrow because there's so many, but we'll probably cover each round, maybe a recap of each round and then an overall recap like we did here tonight. But thank you all for tuning in. Jesus M gives it a B-plus grade. I think I'm there. I think I'm there, too. B-plus is pretty high, but I like that. Round one, I think B-plus is appropriate. You know, there was a lot of options there, but I think they did get the best corner at 22. They didn't go up. They didn't lose any assets, and they got their guys. So I think overall that was a pretty good round. And then I really liked the Cooper move. I mean, I think sometimes fans get too caught up in, oh, we gave up 50 and 53, you know, to go and get Cooper. It's the NFL draft, guys. A lot of players are misses, and it's not just Eagles. That's teams everywhere. So if you like a guy, get rid of some mid-round picks and go and get him. That's my philosophy. I'm not sure if it's right. I'm just a fan. I'm just, you know, I just watch it like you guys do, but that's my opinion on it. So I think how we did that with Cooper, and I like to see that. And we'll see how the Jalix Hunt guy turns out. Obviously he's raw, very raw, but I do like the athleticism. So we'll see what he can do. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I mentioned it already. I'll mention it again. Please drop us a like on the show. We'll be back covering it tomorrow. Twiz the man. Always supporting the channel. We appreciate you, Twiz the Jigga. We'll see you guys tomorrow. I appreciate you tuning in. I'm Xander Krause. Thanks for checking in, everybody. And we will see you tomorrow on the Jacob Draft Special for day 3. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.